Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
This is John Hutchinson on the Pensacola Morning News. We are informative, local, and dependable, and that music means we have Julio Diaz on the line. Good morning, Julio.
Hey, good morning, John.
Julio is the host of Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 o'clock right here on this station. We're glad to have you here this morning. What are you watching this week?
We saw the movie, a new movie called Ash that has just come out last night. This is kind of a science fiction horror thriller, kind of in the vein of Alien in a lot of ways. This was made by Shudder, which is a streaming service. It's a horror themed streaming service, but they do a lot of original films. A lot of them get theatrical release before they go on to the streaming service, and this is one of them. Stars Issa Gonzalez, who you may have seen in movies like Baby Driver. She is an astronaut who wakes up on an alien planet alone with no memory of what's going on. She has no idea. She doesn't even know her name. Doesn't know how she got there.
Sounds like spring break.
Yeah, but not quite as fun, I don't think. she has to determine what happened to her crew and how she got there and what's going on. The movie is kind of, in a lot of sense, there are a few other cast members, but in a lot of sense, it's kind of a one-hander. So it kind of rises and falls on what you think of the lead actress. I happen to like her. I think she's good in the movie, and I enjoyed the movie overall. I think it has a little bit of a pacing issue here and there, but I think it's a very good movie. One of the people I talked to after seeing it last night did not care for her, and thus didn't care for the movie. So it's going to kind of rise and fall over what you think of her. But the reviews overall are very good on this. It's running at 86 on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think if you like sci-fi and horror, that you will get some enjoyment out of this movie.
All right, that's Ash. We got 45 seconds, Julio. So have you seen Anora, the Best Picture winner?
Oh, yeah. I saw it when it was initially theatrically released when it first came on Pensacola. It's absolutely deserves the Oscar that it won. It's a fantastic film. If you haven't seen it, and you're an adult, because this is definitely a film for an adult. It's not a film for the whole family. It is definitely one just for the grown-ups. But I think it's a very good movie. It has a lot to say. It has a lot to say about relationships between men and women. I think also has a lot to say about what's going on in the world right now. If you look for it, you have to actually watch the movie and not. Don't sit there with your phone in your hand and, divide your attention. Sit there and watch this movie.
All right. That's Julio Diaz. He will be on the radio tomorrow on Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock. So be sure you listen to him. Thank you, Julio. Let's get out to the movies. Now, let's go to traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays that are going to hamper your way in. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money. And called the certified public accountants at Benakis and Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis and Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis and Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis and Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
So whenever you think about the kind of complex systems inside your home, like the air conditioning, the plumbing, the electrical, the heating, these aren't necessarily all interconnected. I mean, some of them are, but they are all similar in the sense that they require a kind of expertise and technical capacity that, is just a little bit different. Well, that's why Peden takes care of all of that stuff. For 55 years, they have been helping people solve the problems inside their homes, you, when it comes to air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing. And they have done so well that they have been expanding this whole time, you know, from Panama City to Pensacola to Tallahassee to Baldwin County to actually Mobile. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast, Peden can take care of you. Professional people show up, do professional installation with outstanding high-quality products, and stand by it 100% with a satisfaction guarantee. And right now, for the month of March, they've got $1,000 off what they call mini-split air conditioning systems to kind of cool down a particular room. So for March Madness, they have mini-splits for $1,000 off. That'll cool down your garage, your sunroom, your workshop. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Tired of wandering the aisles of those big box stores, struggling to find the help you need? At Home Outlet, we do things differently. First, we guarantee the lowest price on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. Find it cheaper somewhere else? We'll beat it by 10%. Second, we're employee-owned. Yep, the folks helping you design your dream kitchen actually own the place. You're not just another customer to us. You're the customer. So why deal with the other stores? Break up with the big box and upgrade to Home Outlet. Find a location near you at homeoutlet.com.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew-Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew-Through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, sitting in for Andrew McKay. It's the first full day of spring. It's cold, and it's Friday. It's the weekend coming up. Gallery nights tonight. The Navy Band is at the Sanger Theater tonight, so I hope you got a big weekend planned. Right now, we have in the studio Scott Lunsford. We're pleased to have him here. He's the Escambia County Tax Collector, and we're going to talk a little bit about a proposal in the legislature. You know, John, I said earlier, hide the women and hide the children. The legislature's in session. And Dave Merzan, a former member of the legislature, just walked in, so we may be in trouble in here. I'm not too sure. But the legislature is working on something that's been proposed by the governor to eliminate property taxes. They provide about $55 billion in revenue across the state. So the legislature decided to produce a study on the effects of this. So we wanted Scott to come in and talk about that, how that would impact Escambia County. And before we do that, though, Scott, talk a little bit about Escambia County property tax collections, how much we collect, and then what the money's used for.
John, we collect about $460 million, roughly. It's up and down a little bit each year. It's roughly $450, $460 million, and that goes to your counties, your cities of Pensacola, Century, your Water Management District, Children's Trust, all of those different entities, and they use it for your basic services, law enforcement, road infrastructure, and parks, recreation, civic centers, those kind of
basic services.
Right.
And so if we did away with that, if we did what the governor is talking about, first of all, let me ask you this. Why do you think the governor is doing this? I mean, I know nobody likes to pay taxes if you don't have to, but everybody likes it when the fire truck shows up and the sheriff's department shows up and the garbage gets picked up and all those kinds of things. So what do you think's behind this? Because I haven't sensed there's a big push in Florida to get rid of property taxes.
I think the biggest driving force is to make sure that Florida stays affordable for folks coming here, for okay. The folks that already are here, yeah. And that we can afford to be in Florida. You know, it's one thing to have your freedom, but if you can't go anywhere, do anything, afford to enjoy life, you know, I think that's the main driver behind it, is his desire to make sure that we're free and we're, you know, have an affordable state to live in.
Yeah. And, you know, as property values go up, which they tend to do over time, then the tax assessment goes up and you pay more taxes. And so if you stack that on top of rising housing prices, rising insurance prices, rising tax prices, I can see where that can become a burden, particularly in South Florida where – homes are you don't get a lot for $1 million down there anymore, so I can see where that's coming from. But So if you did away with property taxes, how would you make up that revenue?
Well, you know, John, I looked at it, and if we were to have to recreate that amount of money, I used the local option sales tax as a gauge. It brings in about $70 million a year, and that's 1 cent. So if we had to recover that amount of money with a sales tax, you would be somewhere in the 4 to 6% range, depending on if you cap certain purchases. So local option is capped at $5,000. If it was an open tax where you paid the tax on the entire purchase or capping, that's where it would drive that 4 to 6% swing to try to make up that difference.
So the price of goods and services basically sold in Escambia County would go up 4 to 6%.
That, or you have to look at, do we start taxing things that are currently untaxable, like groceries, medicines, those kind of things. Yeah. You know, the money's going to have to come from somewhere if you want those services. Yeah. So how do we replenish that supply is, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And it just depends on how you cut it and what you remove, what you have to make up.
You got franchise fees and those kinds of things, too. All of those things are things you can do. But to me, it's you're taking it out of my right pocket now, and so you're going to put it back in my right pocket and take it out of my left pocket.
Right. That's what I've been telling people for a couple of weeks now. Which pocket do you want them to take it out of, right or left? But it's going to come out of a pocket somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we also have to look at the affordability of Florida as a tourist destination. If we add 4, 5, 6% tax, and then you've got your tourist development tax and the cost of just going to different places, does Florida become unattractive to people? Can you go to Orange Beach, for instance, much cheaper for a week with a family of three or four? So I think we have to weigh a lot of things to make sure that we're not hurting ourselves in the long run trying to fix this issue.
You know, there are a lot of people that say property taxes are unfair. Only property owners pay them. It's like renting your house from the government. How do you address that?
You know, that's a tough question. I'm in a unique position. I'm the guy that has to write myself a check. So, you know, I do it every year as well. But, you know, fairness, I think, has to come from the legislature and them look at all the different aspects and decide how do we do this, you know, fairly. There's been some talk about, you know, can we just do away with the homestead? And, you know, I looked at that, run some calculations, and I think doing away with homestead would put us in about $129 million deficit. So, again, you need 1% or 2% lost or some other type of tax to make that back up.
Yeah. Let's go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call Insect today. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly. Even 98 and Highway 90 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thank you, John. Glad everything's looking good. Be careful out there on the first day of spring break. A lot of crazy folks will be out on the beach this weekend and all around, so be on the lookout for them. We are talking with Scott Lunsford, who is the Escambia County Tax Collector. We've had him in the studio this morning, and we're talking about a proposal being looked at in the legislature to study the elimination of property taxes, which sounds really good on the surface until you figure out that it's got to come out of some other pocket if you still want police protection and fire protection and the garbage picked up and all the other vital services that government provides. So, Scott, if you assume that that people with more means pay the property tax because they own houses, okay, while the, I guess you would say, less fortunate people with less income don't. So if you replace the property tax with, say, sales tax, say 6% sales tax, isn't that going to have a more negative impact on the people with less means and more beneficial to those with more means?
Oh, absolutely. The higher the sales tax is going to hit the pockets of the people that are financially challenged immediately because they're paying more for goods and services. And, you know, you're looking at if you need to repair your car or anything just to get to work or get to the grocery store, if it's broke down and you've got to pay taxes, additional taxes, it all comes out of that one paycheck or maybe a second paycheck that's funding that family. So, yes, the ones that are financially challenged are going to feel it much more than somebody with the means to pay.
Yeah, I think we need to be real careful about that because I see that as a huge impact. The folks are already struggling, and now you put a 6% tax on everything, sales tax, that it's going to just make it even harder for them while you're giving a tax break to the folks who have more means. And what's fair, it depends on where you are, right. Which side you're looking at, which pocket it's coming out of. But I do see that as a real concern that would really hurt folks who probably right now are struggling. So
well, I think we also have to look at local business impact. You know, if I can drive to Foley or Robertsdale and buy a refrigerator 6-12% cheaper, you have that option along your border counties where you're actually impacting your local businesses by customers shopping in other locations.
The automobiles?
Well, automobiles, you're going to pay the same on that. That's one of the items that's pretty negative. But something that you could purchase and take directly home without having to register or title would that's certainly right. have a reduced
Well, that's right.
Price.
If you buy a car in Alabama, you still have to register it at your office. Right. Are you supposed to? Are you better?
Yes, sir.
So do you plan to weigh in on the study?
We do. I learned a long time ago, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So you certainly want to weigh in and give your opinions. You know, as tax collectors, we usually don't have a position on policy. We would rather advise and, you know, be in the discussion what this would impact, how it would impact our local communities and so forth. But we certainly are weighing in and certainly will have our voices heard and be there every chance we get to speak on this issue.
How long do you think the study will take?
2 years, 3 years.
Okay.
Most legislation, it's not uncommon to see it take a couple, 3 years. You know, Michigan tried this not long ago. They weren't successful at all. So, again, once they find out the scope of what we're collecting and what it's paying for, then you've got to figure out how you're going to replace it.
Yeah. Are there any states that don't have property tax?
None that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Okay. I know we don't have income tax.
Correct.
In a lot of states that don't have income tax. But if we had no income tax and no property tax, I could understand why that would be, you know, something you would, excuse me, want to try and do. But what's your prediction?
It's hard to predict. I think we will see probably an easier thing to see is there's also a move to move the homestead up to 100,000. I think that's something that's very doable fairly easily. And I think that my opinion is local governments and municipalities would need to start looking at how can they tighten their belts now.
Yeah.
And, you know, look for ways to trim budgets and do the best they can with the money they collect so that that need doesn't keep getting bigger.
What can folks do to make your job easier in your office? A lot of folks come in there to get a lot of business done.
The biggest thing folks can do to help us is go to our website, escambiataxcollector.com, and click on What Do I Bring? We see over 1,000 people each day in our lobbies, and many of them are not prepared. They don't have the correct documents. So if they look at that What Do I Bring and bring the documents that we lay out for them, it's very unusual that with the documents we ask for that we're unable to finish a transaction.
We're talking to Scott Lunsford, Escambia County Tax Collector, about the proposal to do away with property taxes. It's not going to happen for 2 or 3 years, so I think that's the good news. We've got time for folks to get creative and come up with a creative way to help us look at that process. So, Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you, John.
Let's go to take a break. News.
I'm Therese Crowley. A U.S. district judge pressing his case to oversee President Trump's foreign policy after the Trump team cited national security in refusing to divulge further information on criminal migrant deportation flights. With a new hearing this afternoon, Florida GOP Congresswoman Kat Kamick tells Fox.
This is lawfare, pure and simple. And just because you don't like the outcome of an election doesn't mean that you can use your power and abuse it for political purposes.
President Trump posting today, no district court judge or any judge can assume the duties of the president, only crime and chaos would result. Maine backs down after the governor's verbal standoff with the president. The University of Maine system has agreed to comply with Trump's executive order to keep trans athletes out of women's sports. London's Heathrow Airport closed all day after an electrical fire knocked out power. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got mostly sunny skies and warming up a couple of degrees. We're up to 44 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. Visit Pensacola says last year was historic for tourism in the area. More than 2.5 million people visited. That means over a $2 billion economic impact.
Record-setting year. We collected more tourism development tax than we have ever before. And that translates into more local option sales tax. And those are the kind of things that help offset the costs that our residents have. So to the tune of $513 this year, taxes that don't have to be paid by our residents per household.
That's Visit Pensacola President and CEO Darren Schaefer. He says that's an increase of about 2% in visitor numbers from 23 to 24, and a record $22 million in tourism development tax collections. Community members hoping that some improved parking facilities can be built on Pensacola Beach, like a parking garage to accommodate the growing influx of tourism here in the area. Well, we learned earlier this week that a person of interest in a suspicious death in Santa Rosa County had been found dead in Louisiana. Well, a new development in this case, Channel 3 reporting that his girlfriend was arrested on drug trafficking charges, and that was earlier this month. 23-year-old Ariel Ayala was arrested March 8th on charges related to trafficking MDMA, cocaine, methamphetamine, and LSD. She was also charged with possession of several other controlled substances. Ayala was the girlfriend of Johnny Mobley, who was a person of interest in the death of Michael Davis, and reports showed that Ayala was at Mobley's home when deputies attempted to serve an arrest warrant on him for drug trafficking charges. Ultimately, Ayala was charged for the drugs found at that property. Investigators are still looking into Mobley's cause of death. Well, it's that time of year. Spring breakers are headed to the beach in search of a reprieve from the long winter.
Well, think about spring break, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of Fort Lauderdale was known for it, and Panama City was known for it. While we have our share of spring breakers, it's not something that we weren't the destination of choice, which we were glad not
right.
to be
oh, yeah,
that
for
destination
sure.
of choice.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Now, he says despite not being the destination of choice, he does have extra deputies on duty on Pensacola Beach, and he says there's a sign at the beach letting Nayers do well know that they'll be arrested if they cause trouble here. Simmons also says his patrols are searching the residences or are patrolling the neighborhoods looking for wild parties in rental homes. Well, education advocates are discussing the potential impacts of dismantling the Department of Education. Andrew Spars, the president of the Florida Education Association, he says the closure could hit the most needy students the most.
If you have a child with special needs, your child's individualized education plan, the IEP, could be impacted, not to mention students who attend before school programs, after school programs, enrichment programs.
The department sends billions of dollars a year to schools for vulnerable students such as the disabled or impoverished. Closing it does require an act of Congress. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Not seeing any accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90 and 98, even 9 Mile are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And taking a look at our forecast, looks like it'll be a very nice day all around. It's sunny right now and 43 degrees. Could see a high of around 65, possibly 70 here later on this afternoon. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now. Markets down at the opening bell on Wall Street. The Dow is down 413 and a quarter points at 41,540. The S&P is down 54 points at 56,08.76. NASDAQ down 201 points at 17,489. Taking a look at our 10-year bond rate, that's down slightly, 4.208% today. Gold prices down 670 at $3,037.10. Silver price is down 27 cents at $33.71. And crypto down across the board this morning as well. Bitcoin down over 1,000 at 83,152. Ethereum's down. Solana's down. XRP down 8 cents. Dogecoin is unchanged, though. That is at 16 cents for today. And taking a look at a couple of our financial headlines this morning. The European Union delaying the first retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods until mid-April to allow for some more time for negotiations.
Trump's threat of new tariffs comes on top of levies on steel and aluminium already announced by the president, and threats of new 200% tariffs on EU wine and spirits. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve announced it would keep interest rates in the U.S. unchanged.
That is Kate Fisher reporting. An EU spokesperson says the change in the timeline shouldn't diminish the impact of their response in Europe. Well, DoorDash is partnering with a finance company to give customers more ways to pay. The delivery app said on Thursday it's working with Klarna, a buy now, pay later app. In a news release yesterday, DoorDash said Klarna is going to offer a seamless range of payment options that can be used to buy groceries, food, or anything else. And the Boston Celtics are being sold to a new owner on a record-setting deal. Symphony Technology Group managing partner Bill Chisholm has reportedly agreed to purchase the NBA franchise for just over $6 billion. That is the largest sale of a North American sports franchise in history. It's 8:38, your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
To the hip, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap. Wrap it up.
Good morning. Welcome back. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. This is News Radio 92.3. We are informative, local, and dependable. This is The Wrap. This is where we invite a couple of community leaders in, and as Andrew says, like we're having a beer, but it is a little early in the morning, but when you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, a beer would be pretty good right now.
Yeah,
you
know? That's right.
They brought some.
I think it's a wrap, but I also think it's the best part of the show.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
I mean, yeah, come on.
And Dave brought Burger King stuff, you know, so a sausage biscuit
we'll
and a beer.
We'll always invite him
there you
back.
Go.
You
know?
Yeah.
Guy that brings food is always welcome.
Is always
back.
Welcome.
There you go.
Yeah, but, yeah. So we do have in the studio with us Dave Merzan, former state legislator. Dave, introduce yourself. Tell us what you're doing right now.
Hey, my name's Dave Merzan. I'm running First Place Partners, an organization that supports economic development in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
I've heard of
do
that.
Do a little legislative stuff. Yeah, you're familiar with that organization, aren't you? Doing that and a little bit of consulting on the side.
Excellent. And we have Lisa Long-Leiter, one of my favorite people in Pensacola. Lisa, I know you're doing 1,000 things, but give us the highlight.
The highlights. Okay, well, I have a good news-only newspaper called Local Pulse Pensacola, mm-hmm. and you can find that at localpulse.com, Facebook, and Instagram. I also have a social media agency through Red Iron Design, and so we manage about 30 different clients in
and
Pensacola.
And they're awesome.
And we are in Pensacola Egg Fest. So, nice. You know, I'm one of the chairs and founders of that, and I'm living my best life with my husband of 5 years, Tommy Leiter.
Everybody knows Tommy.
I know.
And everybody knows Lisa. So there you go. So we're glad y'all are here this morning. We're just going to kick around some things and nothing too heavy, nothing too light, something in the middle. And I just want your thoughts on a few things. We're going to start with soccer in Pensacola. You know, we've got the soccer league that's interested in bringing a team here. So, ladies first, Lisa, what do you think about soccer in Pensacola? You think it'll go?
Well, I'm gonna tell you a couple things. One, first, you know, I read about the switchbacks in Colorado Springs and their after their first year and the amount of money they brought in. They hired over 1,000 people. They brought in $4 million. So I'm for it.
Yep.
I think it's, you know, we already proved that we can do sports here and support it. But I think what's most important is we start talking about what's the name of the team. And I brought a couple names.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm
just going to throw them out and see if anything lands for you guys. But, you know, there's the Pensacola Mullets, you know, the business in the front, party in the back. And what about Barrancas Boomers? Loud, proud, always making noise, just like the Cannons at Barrancas.
Yeah. This is a true marketing person.
Yeah, Pensacola Sand Spur, because nothing slows you down like stepping on a spur.
Oh, man.
And then, probably my favorite is Blue Angel Bombers.
The Blue Angel Bombers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Remember the Bay Area Bombers? I feel like if we're going to do this, let's start talking about the name.
Okay. All right, Dave, if we do that, they're looking for a downtown stadium. You know, so where do you think we should put the soccer stadium?
Well, I don't know how much room we need for a stadium. Is there room still left on Main Street on that particular parcel? Are there some parcels up I-110 to 10, if you can vision that, you know, maybe underneath or next to
The old Stinky,
between there and Palafox?
The old Stinky property would have been great, but it's all booked up now. Yep. They're going to put 500 or something apartments there. So everybody can live on top of each other. And I don't think there's any room at Maritime Park. I mean, basically you need 110 yards, whatever it is.
Right. And they've got they're talking about a second hotel there right now also.
Yeah, there is that second hotel going in.
Yeah, so I don't know where you could put it downtown. I mean, maybe at West Town a little bit.
I'm not sure how many former school sites are still left available.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be part of our inventory because if the old school's going away anyhow, there's probably enough geographically enough land there.
I will tell you, I had a conversation with the mayor about this. You know, he's such a visionary and he reimagines things and, you know, just ideas he was throwing out. I was like, wow, I would never have even thought of that. But just reimagining, like, what are we doing with the Bay Center and the hotel? And so who knows?
Yeah. So when I came to Pensacola, there was no baseball. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the Blue Wahoos. There was no hockey. Who would do hockey in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. There was no football.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got baseball, we've got hockey, we've got football, we're talking about soccer, we're talking about sports complexes, we're talking about all these exciting things, which if you've been here for a while, it's really transformative what's going on with Pensacola. And one helps breed the other, which is why I think the soccer folks are interested. They see baseball being successful and the ice hockey being successful, so they want to be here too. Okay, all right, switch topics.
Okay.
Early predictions are out for a normal hurricane season, okay? I want you, Dave, share with me your worst hurricane memory.
My worst hurricane memory?
Uh-huh, in Pennsylvania.
My worst hurricane memory was probably when I first got here, 1978. I think I don't even remember the storm.
Frederick was 79, so.
Yeah, so it must have been that one. Yeah. When the power went out, my dad was, of course, he was retired military, had a heart attack, needed a pacemaker, and he wasn't doing very well, and the power was out. That's one. And then, of course, I spent one hurricane in the basement of the sheriff's department when I was, you know, I actually worked for the tax collector. I was part of Citizens Information Center and literally lived through that storm at the sheriff's center when everything flooded and we had all those fun times.
We're talking with Dave Merzan. We're talking with Lisa Leiter, and we're going to go to John Pickens right now for traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-110, I-10 are all looking good. Not seeing any delays for you to worry about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. We're talking this morning on the wrap. A couple of community leaders in here talking about different things going on. We were talking about our worst hurricane memory. Dave mentioned the basement of the sheriff's department. I spent 4 days, 1 hour in the basement of the sheriff's department. That was a terrible place for an emergency management center. People sitting on top of each other. You really couldn't. You couldn't.
You
hear
know, it's
anything.
Much different now.
Yes. Yeah, I know it's much different now. When the new center was open, it's absolutely marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the hurricane almost bearable to be in there. So, all right, Lisa, what is your worst hurricane memory?
What was the one in 2004?
2004 was Ivan.
Ivan. So I'm normally with someone who has really good luck. And for some reason, where I lived, the access to fix electricity was not easily accessible. And that one, I went 3 weeks without power.
Yeah.
And I've really learned to appreciate linemen and the power company and how they respond. because it's hard going 3 weeks without power.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Believe me, I know.
Well, you know something about that. That's right.
Okay, should 18-year-olds be able to buy guns?
Why not? They're allowed to do everything else.
Okay.
We count on them to defend our country. They go to boot camp. They get shipped away for years on end. Why not? It's just an extension of that.
What do you think, Lisa?
So the nurturing grandmother in me says no, but I will tell you, I watched Tommy with his grandsons, and he's teaching him from a very early age how to hunt, how to use a gun, the protocol about guns being in the home, and so that makes me feel better about it.
Yeah. This was a different time. And when I grew up, too, my grandfather took us hunting, and we were taught gun safety. It never even crossed my mind that I would shoot somebody or use it to do anything except go hunting with it. When I was in college at LSU, you're going to find this hard to believe, we had shotguns in the dorm because we would go duck hunting. And there was no law against it. I mean, that's just what we did. Right. And nobody freaked out about it because nobody ever took the shotgun and did bad things with it. And I know it's different now. It's different now. Mm-hmm. But I think if we can trust an 18-year-old to defend our country, then you can make an argument that they ought to be able to buy a gun, too. And all you're doing is delaying it by a couple of years anyhow, because they can do after that. All right. Now, this is a very serious question.
Okay.
And they've all been serious, haven't they? Yeah. So I assume you watched the SpaceX capsule land in the water. Wasn't that beautiful?
Splashdown. Yeah.
That splashdown was absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The weather was great. The seas were calm. The big billowing, beautiful, beautiful parachutes that came down. And then what did we see in the water?
Dolphins.
The dolphins. So I want to know, Lisa, who told the dolphins where it was going to land, and who arranged that? I mean, that was a great tourism shot for Florida.
It is all Visit Pensacola, I'm convinced. that they have magical powers, and it was from a marketing perspective, because that's what I do. I literally looked at it and said, "Oh my word! This I couldn't do this any better." So, yeah, I'm sure it was Visit Pensacola.
Dave?
I wondered whether there should be some logo placements on the parachutes that were coming down. Idea. That's a missed opportunity, as far as I'm concerned, to put some logo in there, maybe a Visit Pensacola or, Florida, Visit Florida logos.
Yeah, we're about to figure out how to do tattoos on dolphins for a bit like this.
There you go. Peter, don't. That was Lisa that said that. It wasn't me.
Oh, they'll wash off. No harm.
Somebody told me the dolphins are actually aliens, and the aliens, they communicate with aliens in outer space, so they knew the shuttle was coming down.
They knew it was coming down. Mm-hmm.
They were just there to welcome it. They view humans as just being, inferior.
If you read about dolphins, it says that they're one of the smartest. Smart. Yeah.
They are very smart. And I'll tell you why they were there. I mean, for real. Anytime a dolphin nowadays hears a boat motor, in the Gulf, they run toward it, because what happens is all these fishing boats out there, because you can only keep one red snapper per week per 18 people or something like that. The rules are crazy. You have to throw back red snapper. You catch one on almost every drop. And so these boats, they've learned that when they hear the boats, all of a sudden red snapper are falling in the water that they can eat. And I've actually had them come and take the red snapper off of my line before I could even get it up to the boat.
Wow.
So they're
like my dog when Tommy comes home.
Exactly.
She knows. As soon as he walks in the door, he's got treats.
They're very trainable. So they heard the big splash and saw all the boats, and they said supper time.
There you go.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful thing to watch. And I thought, how cool is that to have these dolphins out here around
exactly
SpaceX?
Right.
So, all right. Dave, have you had the measles?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
But I think I had the shot.
Okay. I was going to ask, that's next, because we talked about that earlier. If you're born before 1957 and neither one of you qualify, I don't think, you don't have to get the shot because you probably had the measles. But Lisa, have you had the measles?
I have not had it, but obviously I was vaccinated for it.
Very good. So. All right.
And then you got to take the shingles shot? Because if you...
You have to get two of those.
The shingles shot.
Yes.
Yeah, because... Like, isn't that an implication of the, if you didn't have the measles, if you had the measles, that's why they're promoting everybody over 50 now needs the two shots for the shingles.
Yeah, whether you had measles or not, but I can tell you, you don't want to have shingles.
Yeah.
You do not want to have shingles. It's much worse than the measles. Mm. I mean, it really is. And it leaves permanent scarring. It's really bad. So get the shot.
The older I get, the more important my health is.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I remember making fun of people like me, and now I'm like, I can't stop talking about health.
Yeah, yeah, it's very important. So when are we going to have a deal on OLF8, Lisa?
Oh, wow.
Dave and I have only been working on this for 20 years, so, yeah. Through economic development.
You've stumped me. I thought I was prepared today. You've stumped me on that one. This is one I will tell you that I think needs a fresh perspective and a fresh look at, and we'll see. Okay. I don't really have any opinion on anything about that. I'm going to stay out of it.
Well, join the crowd. Yeah. I don't think anybody can do. Jay, what do you think?
I think if you take the politics out of it, remove it from the Board of County Commissioners' oversight. Mm-hmm. Give it to economic development professionals like PEDC, mm-hmm. those people that are supposed to be doing economic development in our area.
Yeah.
Give it to them. Let them bring in some professionals. Yeah. Take all the, well, what's the highest number? And I like this guy. And, oh, no, I like that guy over there. And take all that out of it.
Yeah.
Give it to some people that can make some rational decisions based on public policy. And let them handle it.
The whole impetus behind OLF 8 was Escambia County has no light industrial or industrial sites on the interstate.
Yep.
You know, every week, Shannon Ogletree in Santa Rosa County is announcing a new industry. Why? They've got sites on the interstate. And mm-hmm. the whole idea behind OLF 8 was to give Escambia County an opportunity to compete for those really good jobs that are coming. But then when the county got a hold of it, and then Navy Federal came, and then Nature Reserve came, and all that development came out there, which is a really good thing. But it put OLF 8 in a different light. And so now you got the public involved, and they want libraries and donut shops and restaurants and, you know, all those kinds of things. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's just what you got with the growth out there. When it was first looked at, it was out in the middle of nowhere. So that's the dilemma that we have, trying to please everybody. It's now become political.
Well, and last time I checked, we still need good-paying jobs in this area. Not that retail jobs aren't bad, not that you can hire a couple people at a Publix or another nice steak restaurant right across the street from a fancy place, but, you know, we need good jobs, and that comes through manufacturing and light manufacturing that we can bring to that site.
Exactly. You know, Navy Federal has added so much to the community, and why did they come here? Where did they locate? They came here because we had room, and we had room on the interstate. And with other incentives and all the things that are involved, we don't have that anywhere now. We still don't. And they're still fooling around with OLFA. Maybe we'll get some sites on there. But from an industrial recruitment standpoint, it's very, very competitive.
Yep.
And if you don't have the site, then they could just move right down the road. I tell the story about the Ace Hardware Distribution Center that's in Loxley, Alabama.
That's right.
Okay. It was coming here. Okay. Alabama said, we got a site right on the interstate, and we'll give you a couple $1 million if you come to Loxley. Well, it's in Loxley. So it's very competitive. Companies don't really care that much.
5 acres under roof.
Yes, exactly.
5 acres.
You know what? I'll say this. So, what you're really saying is we have two jobs in order to land this. We need to solve problems and relieve anxiety. And what I don't see is someone leading the charge that way. Like, we're going to solve this problem. Yeah. We're going to relieve people's anxiety that want to find a place. And that's why they're going to Santa Rosa County.
Yeah.
The problem's solved, and there's no anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, and the politics gets involved. And government is very, very poor at dealing with property. Buying property, selling property, it's really not what they're set up to do. Everything's got to be in the sunshine, and I'm all for that. But it just makes it that much more difficult when you're trying to do real estate deals and you're trying to, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Okay. So no predictions, no 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, nothing. John.
I got to do traffic on the fives.
Traffic on the fives.
Traffic on the fives real quick. No accidents to report to you right now. Not even any slowdowns. I-10, I-110 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Thank God
you're welcome.
For traffic. We need traffic. Okay. So here's a question, Dave. I'll start with you. Should city taxpayers pay for a warning system on Graffiti Bridge that's owned by the railroad? The city doesn't own it. Taxpayers don't own it. So why are we paying for a warning system? Shouldn't the railroad pay for the warning system?
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
And the railroad's probably going to say, okay, it's our bridge. What are you going to do? You know, the railroads have been here for a long time. They have been given rights you know, rights of way and everything else that surpass anything else that we would ever imagine these days, just to promote that. So I think to do it expeditiously, the city might want to write a check and get it done, and that way they don't have to. You think about every cop that has to, you know, you hit the bridge, then there's got to be a law enforcement, and then there might be an EMS vehicle coming, and they got to pull the thing out. That could go away with a warning system if the city paid for it.
Or I'm sorry, I'll give Lisa a chance to answer.
I don't think it's should we pay it. I think we do pay it, and here's why. Our number one goal in city government is safety. If you don't have safety in a city, then you really don't have a great city. And so if you can't get the railroad company to pay it, then you do pay it.
Yeah, yeah. Why won't the railroad redesign it? I mean, because it's unsafe. We are hitting it. To me, I've had people say, they're liable. It's mm-hmm. their bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if you want to get it done, as you said, I agree. Railroads can be very difficult to deal with, I can tell you. So,
yep.
But I know if I had a piece of property and people were running into it continuously, and I think the city would probably come to me and go, you need to move it or do something.
Mm-hmm.
The railroads may be a different entity. Okay, just thought I'd ask, see if you could give us a solution.
You got to redesign that entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you've got to raise it up at a certain level and, you know, coming in, coming out of town. How are you going to do that given the extension of where it is?
Yeah, and that was designed when that was a little neighborhood.
Yep.
And it was just going through the neighborhood. Now that traffic on 17th Avenue coming off of Cervantes is unbelievable.
Right.
It's everybody who lives east of 9th Avenue who live in Pensacola coming that way. And I do it. I drive under that thing, I don't know, probably 10 times a week. And it's crazy. Now the roundabout is absolutely marvelous that they did at the bridge there. That helps, but all that's done is speed up traffic going underneath the graffiti bridge. So if you're going to paint the graffiti bridge, I'm going to tell you better be careful because there are cars going under that bridge 40, 50 miles an hour coming down that hill, and so it's dangerous. But okay, all right, we solved that problem, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe we know who to blame, I guess. So. Lisa, Publix or Aldi?
Oh, wow. Publix for everything except their deli. Ooh, it's too slow.
It's too slow.
So if Aldi had a deli, then they would win.
Okay. Dave, have you been to Aldi, the new ones?
I have been to Aldi. I'm going to go with Publix on this one. Simply because there is a wider variety of everything available at Publix. Aldi... I understand, you know, you got spaghetti sauce with meat, without meat.
Okay, thanks. Hey, this has been The Wrap. Dave Merzan with his spaghetti sauce and Lisa Leiter. Thanks for joining us today. I'll see you down there.
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.